Welcome to Promo Insiders, an ASI media podcast that covers the topics that matter most to the promotional products industry. I'm Editor-in-Chief CJ Mitica, and today we're recapping the ASI show in Fort Worth. We'll be discussing strategies, trends, and maybe a live animal sighting or two. So hello, everybody. Welcome again. You may be familiar with my voice or familiar with my face. Maybe you're sick of my voice and my face. I know my family certainly is. So to help with that, though, we've got a fresh new voice to the ASI team, Sammy Marshak. Sammy, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing here at ASI.
Sure. So I'm Sammy. I'm the data analytics editor for ASI. So my role involves contributing to the industry news coverage, as well as doing data visualization, aggregation, and analysis for the company and within the editorial department. So I started a month ago and maybe 5 weeks ago at this point. So yeah, it's been great so far.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to ask you about your experience at the trade show for someone who's new to the industry. Look for Sammy's work, both in Counselor Magazine and ASICentral.com. We're very excited to do more with data and visualization. It's a great untapped opportunity for us, and Sammy is going to be a great asset to help us with that. In fact, so this isn't, even though this is Sammy's going to be your first like public appearance on our podcast, it's not the first podcast you've actually done. You recorded one earlier in the week with our colleague Sarah Levandusky. So by now I think you're probably like a seasoned pro at this, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we're talking ASI Fort Worth. We were there last week for the ASI show. It was later on in the year. Like, we used to hold it in January. This year it was in March. The weather was awesome. Everybody had a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking about just some of the things we saw and learned there. Just top trends, strategies, what we're hearing from distributors and suppliers we talked to. If you want to see our full coverage, be sure to go to asicentral.com/news. I think it's still on the front page. It's a story that says ASI Fort Worth 2024, full speed ahead for attendees after successful show. That's our show recap. All of our coverage can be found on there. Or if you search for ASI Fort Worth 2024 in our search function, again, you can find all the different articles that we've done, or just listen to us right now, because we're gonna give you the recap straight right here. So Sammy, yeah, you mentioned it, you know, brand new to the industry, started just about a month ago, and this is your first time at one of our trade shows or any promotional products trade show. So just from the outsider's perspective, like, what was the experience like for you?
Yeah, so it was great. I thought it was very well coordinated, that the education speakers and all the keynote speakers, they were very interesting, not just for me, but I think everyone. The trade show, actually seeing the products and the suppliers and the distributors really put everything into perspective for me as someone that was writing about it for a month, but then actually getting to go in and see what real suppliers are, real distributors are, and the actual products that they sell. They were so innovative and cool, and I really enjoyed that. So I got to really see their relationship, understand that better, kind of their wants and needs, and how that plays a role into what products they buy and how they sell to their customers, and putting faces to the names, seeing some of the suppliers and distributors that I had been writing about, heard about, but didn't actually know how to properly envision, if that made sense, and then seeing their company and their booths was awesome. So yeah.
What was it like seeing like this sort of like wall to wall like slate of products all over on the trade show floor?
Yeah, I think we talked about it, like, when we got there, it was a little overwhelming at first, just because there were so many different like people and new things. But then, like, as you walk through it, you kind of get the hang of it and understand how to progress through it better. But at first I was like, oh my god, what's going on here?
Yeah, because so Sammy, you walked around with me, and it's funny because like, I'm like, oh yeah, like I've never heard of this company before. This company is new, but you know, I've been in the industry for 16 years now as a newcomer. It's just hard to sort of have the bearing of like what's new, what's established, what's popular, what's not.
Yeah, and even like the relationships that already exist and how like we've been working with them in the past, or I don't even know, things like that. So just
Yeah.
kind of catching on to things. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, your experience was is you handled it great. There's so much to cover and do, and you did an awesome job with it.
Thank you.
For for a new distributor in the industry or someone attending their show for the first time, like you can see, like, it's reflected sort of like in your experience, like getting your bearings. There's just so much to take in. And so that's why we encourage our attendees, plan ahead, figure out the companies you want to see, the people you want to meet, like, do you which education sessions you want to do. And we ASI make it easier to do all those different things. But it helps to have a plan, especially if you're not overly familiar, if you don't have a handy Sherpa like me to guide you around.
Oh my God. Sorry,
All
Sherpa.
right, maybe I won't use that next time. So, at the show, you and I, we did the whole range of activities, right? We went to the education sessions, we walked the show floor, and we talked to a bunch of distributors and suppliers. So tell me, Sammy, from the conversations you had with people at the show, like what stood out to you? What were they saying?
Yeah, so I think I came away with that most suppliers and distributors really had a great experience, and that they go to these shows specifically because of the ideas that they get and then the products that they become aware of. And I think it really helps them put two and two together and make connections because they're seeing things physically rather than shopping online or, like even like talking online. It really makes a difference when like one distributor, for example, told me she goes to the shows because customers value touching and feeling samples. And she doesn't just want to tell them about things, she wants to show them. And so when that's the most valuable thing to her is going to the shows to get those samples and bring them back to her customers. And another distributor, for one, told me that he goes to the show because it helps him get very specific ideas for specific customers. For example, he was in the like custom leatherwork section, so he wanted to sell to those particular customers, and he was able to find leather work that he liked. So I think like from that perspective, and then I'll also say that for like even the education speakers and the panelists, because that was a huge chunk of the show itself, like the whole first day, I think people got a lot of value for that. I think from especially from people that are maybe newer to the industry, that like some people consider themselves new if they've been there 4 years even. I think it's just relative. And yeah, so those people were saying that it helped them see things a different way. Like certain workshops help them understand not to like underestimate their clients and to sell them the higher quality, higher value products, because not just something that they think someone's gonna buy because it's cheaper or less quality, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
So yeah.
definitely. And those are great tidbits. And I think it's illustrative of, like, it's great that, like, have, like, not only a plan when you go to these shows, but, you're on a mission. It's like, I'm trying to find a certain type of product for a specific customer, or I really want to learn more about this topic, whether it's social media or sales. That's why the shows are so great, because it can really help you, like, solve, like, crack that nut, right? Solve that specific problem. And talking with both distributors and suppliers, like, very enthusiastic. Like, suppliers were telling us it was a great show. Fort Worth is the smallest of our three shows, and it sort of borders more on a regional show, but it doesn't matter as much to them, because they're still, like, quality candidates that they're seeing, the suppliers are seeing in terms of their attendees. And as we learned, Sammy, in the past few years, like, when trade shows went through this pandemic related hiatus, suppliers told us, like, when the trade shows came back, like, they were getting quality over quantity. Maybe there was less people attending, but the quality of the conversations they were having, that chance to spend more time and sort of tease out ideas, was much higher. And that seemed to be making a difference, for suppliers. And but again, everybody was thrilled with how the show went. Like, what was the sort of the vibe you got to talking with people about their optimism for the year, how things are going, what they were feeling?
Yeah, so I think most people that I spoke with, they were pretty pleased with their sales projections and what the growth that's already been happening. Some of them didn't know and had to like refer to their husband or wife or something if they weren't the like the one in charge. But most people were like pleasantly happy with their sales, and I think they're just going there to stay on top of the industry and, you know, stay on top of like what's new, as like a supplement to their already successful business. I didn't really talk to people who were unhappy. The only kind of criticism, if you could call it that, was, oh, it's just going slow. It's always slow in this first quarter, like January through March. But I think that's expectable. It's not a word. I think that's expected. So yeah.
Yeah, that's typical for this industry. Q4 is the most successful selling season for distributors. Like, everybody's like buying holiday gifts, using up their budget. Oftentimes there can be a Q1 hangover where, like, buyers don't feel the need to spend right away because they have all year to spend their marketing budget. So that's not atypical. I definitely got the same vibe as you did in terms of people's optimism and enthusiasm. And in fact, we at the Education Day wrap-up session, we did a series of flash polls. We asked people, how are your 2024 sales looking compared to 2023? And it was very, very positive. I think it was like two-thirds or something saying, but definitely the majority saying that they're this year's sales are shaping up to be much higher than the previous year. And 2023 was a tough year for the industry. Sales went up, but a lot of factors dragged it down just from sort of lessening buyer demand, layoffs in the tech industry. There's wars overseas, a number of things, inflation also being a big part of that. But when the conversations we've had talking to our distributors in 2024, and also our Council of Advisory Board that I polled when we met before Fort Worth, everybody's very optimistic about this year, and the sales start has been it's been pretty strong. So a lot of great news all around, and I think Fort Worth definitely captured that. So Sammy, I want to ask you because you mentioned the Education Day sessions. I know you attended a number of those. So, like, what jumped out to you? Like, what kind of strategies and ideas you thought were particularly compelling?
Sure. So I guess we start with the Cohen Family Generational Success one, because one thing I didn't realize about the industry was how many family businesses there are specifically like within promotional products. And I think that's really cool. So it's even if it's on a smaller scale, right, than what the Cohen family of ASI has and like their company, they face similar concerns and challenges in terms of like how do we keep this going? When do we hire outside of the company? At what point? How do we handle conflict? How do we maintain our relationships and prioritize family but keep business and family separate? So I was speaking with some distributors who were kind of voicing that back to me and explaining that it really helped them have a better perspective and come out with new strategies for their own family businesses.
Oh, that's great. And I want to explain this, that this was a new session for us actually in Fort Worth, the first time I've done it at any ASI show. And we had so Norman Cohen, the chairman of ASI, and then Matthew and Stephanie, two of his children who are very high up and involved in the company, on the same session talking about just like what they've learned over like decades of running a family business. And so it was a rare occasion to have all three of them in an educational session and sort of tap into their wisdom. And I love the stories that they shared. Like Stephanie was talking about like unwrapping these individual packets of cream cheese at one of the shows because that's how it came. And it's just like free labor. Like you're like 7 years old. Like we need to put you to work. Those stories were super fun. But they're, and I've worked at ASI for 16 years, and so I know like I do know some things about the I know a bunch of things about the Cohen family history and the company, but it was still cool to hear those stories and the philosophies behind them. And so I'm glad like it resonated with the audience too.
And someone new to the industry as well. And I didn't know some of that background. It was interesting to hear it just in general, kind of how that family came to success and kept the success. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. What else jumped out to you?
So the video marketing workshop with Martine Cadet, she spoke about a lot of people are afraid to post on social media, to post video content creation, for a variety of reasons. But one, they think that it takes too much of their time or that it's too labor intensive. And some are just scared to delve into new platforms, which makes sense because things are constantly evolving in the way that you sell and advertise your business. But she was just going over techniques to kind of like manage that fear. And one of the things I came out with was for suppliers and distributors to post with the intention of creating a conversation, not just creating content for conversion for sales growth. Starting conversation on social media increases your audience engagement, traction, and the amount of people that are seeing your posts. So that's going to help you inadvertently, if not directly, as it is. And another thing she spoke about was just telling people exactly what you want them to do. Like, if you want them to like your post so more people see it, tell them to like it. Say, go like the post in the comments. Tell them to click this link. Like, don't just expect them to know because they don't know. So. Yeah. And that I could speak about some more if you would like. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that those ideas and that messaging. I attended like a similar session that was hosted by Jay Bissell about social media and how to drive sales from that. And like the philosophies behind his talk are like very similar to what Martine talked about. Like you don't want to sort of like you don't want to just like bait and switch users. You're not just nakedly going after sales. Like you want to start a conversation. You want to build trust. Jay talked about a lot of strategies to do that in terms of like showing things, showing some behind the scenes, photo, offering educational content, other fun things too. And that's one of the hard things I think for our industry is that the companies want to sell, right? They have a goal in mind and they see social media as a way to that. And it's like that's not your main strategy. You want to build trust. You want to create connections, and then the sales will come. So those were great ideas from both Martine and Jay. So we also had two keynotes at the show. Mimi Brown was on day two, and Bruce Himmelstein was on day three. Himmelstein, I said that wrong. What did you what, like? Let's talk about Mimi first, because Mimi was awesome. She had great energy. Loved her ideas. Like, what did you take away from Mimi's keynote?
I just remember the listening exercise that she made us do with the person that was next to us and just ask them like three open-ended questions, but actually like don't interject. Don't just start like talking over them, like let them finish and like have a conversation and like listen to them and like ask questions based off of those questions. And it was harder than you think because like someone says something and you want to jump in and you want to share your own experience. But yeah, the point of her that exercise was to show how salespeople can listen better to their customers and truly listen and try to like take everything the customer is saying and then come to some kind of recommendation without jumping in before they express all their like wants and concerns. So
Yeah, that was an awesome exercise. I had the same trouble as you, right? You want to like add your viewpoint. It's hard to just ask questions of people without inserting yourself into the conversation. But the intention is to make salespeople better listeners. It's because she wanted them to identify their clients' pain points, what's occupying their minds, how the salespeople can help them. Something that resonated with me that Mimi said was like, you have to make the first sale to yourself. I really like that idea because it's basically like you need to convince yourself first. You need to be absolutely, absolutely sure of what you're doing and have to, like, belief in it. Because if you don't, then like it's hard to succeed, right? You're just gonna be saddled by by self-doubt. So like I love that idea, and I just love their messaging all around.
Yeah, like her point was that you have to know the value that your product brings and be able to communicate that value without just trying to sell on price, because you're always going to lose if you try to sell on price. You have to believe in the value of the product and why it's different than others, not just based on price, I guess. But
Yeah,
yeah.
and her thoughts about like, don't worry about the client's budget. Like, if they want to buy it, they'll find the money for it. Like that's like absolutely true. It was a great sentiment. And so like we loved having her at the show, and Sarah Lemdusky, our colleague, recorded a podcast with her that you can find on our Promo Insiders page if you want to hear more from Mimi. What about Bruce? What'd you think of his talk and like his thoughts on disruption and branding?
Yeah, Bruce's talk was so interesting as someone that led such a large brand that everyone knows, the Ritz-Carlton, to success and completely transformed their marketing perspective from that like stereotypical luxury to quiet luxury, and kind of like basing marketing on experiences rather than things. And how he realized that that trend was evolving and how his customer demographic was changing, I thought was super interesting. And Bruce talked a lot about incrementality and how brands can partner and kind of expand their sectors within different companies that you wouldn't necessarily associate with them, and how eventually, like, doing things like that and making strategic initiatives will increase revenue and grow your brand into the public eye, way more than just doing the same thing over and over and over again, working with the same people and expecting things to change that way.
Yeah, his thoughts were fascinating. You know, Bruce was a longtime hospitality executive, and he spent I think a number of years as the chief sales and marketing officer at the Ritz-Carlton. There's one slide he showed, which is like if I was marketing luxury, here's how I would have done it 20 years ago, and here's how I would have done it today. And the difference was fascinating, because like 20 years ago, it was like very like formal, like high class, like quote unquote old money, and like the newer like version of luxury and through like the lens of marketing was way more approachable, fun, experiential. That was like really cool to see like how it shifted, and he was part of that too, like at the Ritz-Carlton. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
Yeah, and so again, I interviewed Bruce for a podcast. You can find that on our Promo Insiders page, and he has a lot of great insights, and so it was very very interesting to hear. Let's talk about the show floor. So we talked to a lot of suppliers. You saw a lot of products. You know, what kind of trends or products like were sort of your hits from the show?
Sure. So obviously sustainability and made in the USA are the biggest trends that we know and write about, but actually seeing it like for the first time on the floor and really seeing like how important it truly is, I think was like fascinating. Because as an individual, like eco-conscious, eco-friendly initiatives are important to me. So it was interesting to see how brands incorporated that into their products, as well as like corporate social responsibility initiatives, as well. And kind of like it was becoming almost competitive. Like, how can certain brands and companies make their eco-friendly products different than the next, right? So I like that, because I think it's for a good cause. As much as greenwashing could be an issue in any industry, I think like friendly competition for a good cause is never a bad thing. So yeah, in terms of products, one of my favorites was the Asobu line from Add and Art. They're one of the biggest promotional suppliers of drinkware. So I actually got gifted a sample of one of their drinkware, and I thought it was really cool. Yeah, like are big on dual functionality, so like cups that have hot and cold capabilities, as well as I'm trying to think, as well as, oh, the ceramic line.
Right. Yeah, that ceramic liner. That was cool, because like that's not something that's commonly available. Like so much drinkware is made from stain, like has stainless steel lining. So like I thought that was neat and novel.
So I just think that this is like fun, but they had some products that were really innovative. There was one bottle that had a storage detachable compartment for like pets' food or water. So you can have your own water and separate it from your pet's water. I don't know, or put the
That was
same
cool.
water.
I wanted to steal that one for myself and take it back home for my dog.
I thought about that. But I don't know, I just chose this one. And then so
Yeah,
I thought
so
that was cool.
Adenard is a company that like I've always seen like their products online and thought these are really, really cool. It was very neat seeing that in them in person with some of that dual functionality. And it definitely ties into like a trend we're seeing in terms of like drinkware continue to be like elevated. So like Yeti started the trend. Stanley is obviously the most high profile example of that at the moment. But it was cool to see like just different different varieties, different innovations. Companies like sort of not like resting on their laurels, or they're trying to still innovate in the category, because and I think consumers are really responding to it. It's like the number two ranked category for sales in the industry at the moment, and you see what's happening on the consumer side, obviously, with the success of Stanley and other brands as well. I remember a couple other companies, like I think it's Silly Pint or Silipint. I'm not sure how to correctly say it. They have some cool, very cool, colorful silicone drinkware, and they just added handles, so it had like tumbler like silhouette. That was neat. Diamondback branding was showing off some things from Yeti and Brewmate and other ones. Those were very cool. It's a great time for drinkware connoisseurs in the industry for sure. What else? Anything else that you saw, Sammy, that particular investor?
So this wingback, it's called From Scooch.
Right.
I don't
Yeah.
think we both have one. And it's basically like a well, didn't take it out of the packet, but I will. It's a grip, kickstand, and car mount, so three features in one. And you kind of just like press a button, and then it will, you can either grip it or like put it down. And I also like the fact that you can put it through like a horizontal car vent or a magnetic car vent, so they really like innovated in that
Yeah, that was
respect.
neat.
From kind of just anticipating consumer needs, they're like, oh, well, what if a car doesn't have like a horizontal vent? I like that. I think that that's cool. So I like this product a lot. And even something like what, back to sustainability, like, and how a lot of people, when they think about promotional products, they do think of pens, even though the promotional products can be so much more than that. But I did like receive a sample of like pens that I thought were cool from this company called I don't know how to pronounce it, Prodeer.
Okay, yeah, I think that's correct.
And I just like that they're like eco-friendly for pens were made from cardboard, and like that they kind of innovated in terms of labeling them personality pens. Like the pens say spend time outdoors or bring enough to share. And I just think that there's ways to spin off of like the classic product. So something like this. I don't know. It's not that it was my favorite product. It was just something that kind of symbolized the trends that we were speaking about.
Yeah, that's great. There's I think what you mentioned with the pen and with these other products is that like these are sort of standard product categories in our industry, but there's ways to innovate, to personalize them, to that really add value for the customers. A couple trends that I saw. So yeah, like the phone accessories, I think, was a cool thing to see. Pop sockets were big a few years ago, but people are still putting all sorts of things on their phone cases. You mentioned Scooch, and we also had this one from Love Handle
Oh
as
yeah.
well.
I
So
actually do have that one
that's
currently.
right. Yeah. So like so I think you're seeing continued innovation with phone accessories. Like it got very popular, and maybe it's not as popular as it once was still very popular, and you still find all sorts of cool things for your clients. Made in USA, the show in Texas like is like the is a huge audience for Made in USA. And talking with suppliers, they're saying that, Made in USA, like you definitely have your customers who that's what they want. Like they're gonna ask for it specifically. Other times though, like it may not be a differentiator for the buyer, right? But there are advantages to Made in USA that like are assets both to supplier and to the distributor. It's just the speed at which they can fulfill orders. Freight costs have been going up overseas again, so a domestic option could potentially save on costs, or at least make it cost, cost comparative when maybe there's a bigger differentiator. And the companies that do it, it works for them. So that was like great to see. A lot of great trends at the show. Be sure to check our trend report. Again, it's online at our website. You can find out more. Okay, this is the most important question, Sammy. Did you ride or pose with the steer at the show?
I did pose with the steer. I sat on one of the steers at the gala, and then I posed. Well, we couldn't even like do more than pose with the steer at the actual trade show, but so I did what I could.
Yeah, so these steers are troopers, by the way. They're like they've been trained from a young age to they're around people all the time, so this is like perfectly normal for them. And there's like bright lights and a lot of people, and like nothing fazes these animals. And kudos to their handlers for doing a good job. But I did have to take a photo with them. I was in Texas. When otherwise, Sammy, are you going to say you had the opportunity to pose with a longhorn steer?
I've never thought about it that way, but I guess never. So thanks, Bam Bam, for that photo op.
It's just another reason to attend our great ASI shows, of course. So, all right. So, Sammy, as we're wrapping up here, what are some sort of final thoughts or takeaways that you left the show with?
Yeah, it was great. I'm really happy that I got to go so early on into starting at ASI. And yeah, I'd be interested to see like how things change based on where the show is. Like I know Orlando and Chicago and Texas had a very particular like demographic, a lot of people coming from the South with like certain trends. So it's interesting to kind of see how that happens all across the United States and ASI's role in shaping that and connecting suppliers and distributors and building that network. So yeah, I guess overall it was great.
Fantastic. Yeah, and our hope is that, Sam, you'll get to attend our other trade shows in the future. For everyone listening and watching, our next show is in Chicago, and that's in July. You can go to asishow.com right now, and you can register. I can attest that show is super fun. Chicago is great in the summer, and it's really sort of the only show of its kind in the industry during that time. So it attracts companies, people from all over the country. It's definitely worth the trip. We'll find room in the budget, Sammy. See if we can take you along. All
Okay. Sounds good.
right. Well, thank you again, Sammy, for joining us, doing a great job on your first podcast.
Thank you.
And
Appreciate it.
thank you to all our listeners, our readers. Again, check out our coverage of Fort Worth on asicentral.com/news. Have a great rest of your week.